Well, good morning. We're really glad to be here. We are thankful for Pastor Dilbert here, who helped us and catered us for the last night that we traveled. And me and my wife are grateful for many things. And we Filipinos are grateful as well for many things because of America. You know, we are thankful for 3Ms in the Philippines. We're thankful for Americans, for your missionaries. We are thankful for your military, how you gave us freedom, and we're thankful for your McDonald's. So we got a lot of things that we're thankful for, and we're blessed to be here. Thank you again for having us. We are Filipino missionaries in the Philippines. I am Jazriel, and I have with my wife, and we are both third-generation missionaries in our family. My grandpa was a missionary. My dad is a missionary as well. Her grandpa is a missionary. And her dad is also a missionary. So it runs in the family. I don't know, my son would be a missionary as well, but we're still praying. And we really thank the Lord because of the salvation that we have. You know the story, my grandpa got saved because of your American missionaries. After you brought your M16, you brought John 3:16 in the Philippines. You know, and that's how my grandpa got saved. And my dad got saved, and it runs, and my dad shares to me the gospel. And until now, I'll never regret that God saved my life. Amen. So we are currently doing our deputation. We're going churches to present our work in the Philippines. I am pastoring a church in the Philippines for 7 years. I started from nothing. After my schooling here in Ohio, I went back home 2019 and I hit the ground running. Start the mission work in the Philippines. And now it's a 7-year-old church. It's still young, but it's a growing church in the Philippines. We have a bunch of ministry that we are doing. I love children's ministry. My wife is also a blessing for our children's ministry as well. And one of the great ministry that we have in the Philippines is our jail ministry, where we cater and preach the gospel inside the jail. And the Lord gave us fruits from that ministry. We have 4 families now that are attending in the church, with their families, baptized, and serving the Lord faithfully. So we are praying for more souls like that to, you know, repent and be baptized and continue to serve the Lord. And now we are having a leap of faith, even though my wife is pregnant, and we thank the Lord for His faithfulness. So we still travel because we're praying for something in the Philippines. We want to have a bigger ministry. And we want to have, you know, more place to cater more Filipinos in our places. And we're currently praying for a property in the Philippines. The Lord granted, the last time we were here in the States, the Lord provided a land. But now we are praying for a building that would cater more ministries in the Philippines. We want to have a Christian school. We want to have a Bible school as well. And dorms for those church workers. So we are praying for this time that the Lord provides for our church building. And I really thank the Lord for many things. But of course, I really thank the Lord for my wife. Because last year we got married. And that was the very best thing that happens to me when God really gives me a partner in life. Amen. And I've been serving the Lord in a single life for 6 years. And last year, God gave me a person to help me and really be my partner in the ministry. And we're expecting a baby, so please do pray for us. Please do pray for her as well. It's hard for us to travel. Sometimes her back hurts, and it really hurts me a lot. And we're doing this just for the ministry and for the work of the Lord. I have a video presentation here, and this is all the videos and pictures of the ministry that we have in the Philippines. And I hope this video and this presentation would be a great blessing and a challenge for everyone. God bless you.
My name is Jazriel Hans Bacoli, missionary to the Philippines. By the grace of God, I've been serving the Lord in the ministry for the past 7 years. During this time, the Lord burdened my heart for a city where there was no Bible preaching, Christ-centered Baptist church. Obeying God's call, I stepped out in faith to reach this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In June of 2019, the Lord allowed us to begin our church ministry through home Bible studies. The people we initially reached were individuals we got to know through basketball outreach. From those simple beginnings, God began to work and the local church was born. Today, by God's grace, the ministry continues to grow and souls are being saved. We have an active children's ministry where we teach young hearts about the love of God and the truth of His Word. Along with spiritual nourishment, we also provide hot meals showing Christ's love in both word and deed. Every Saturday morning, we conduct a Bible study inside our local mall, reaching employees before the mall opens. This has given us unique opportunity to share the gospel and disciple workers who might otherwise be difficult to reach. We also have a ministry among our men in uniform, faithfully sharing the Word of God and encouraging them to stand firm in faith. Another door the Lord has opened is our CDJ on ministry, where we proclaim that even behind bars, there is hope in God. Through this ministry, the Lord has allowed us to see 3 new families saved, baptized, and added to our church. Music is also an important part of our worship. Our church choir practices every Saturday night, faithfully preparing their hearts and voices to sing praises unto the Lord. In 2025, the Lord answered another personal prayer. He gave me a wife, a partner, and helped me in the ministry. On July 3, Francesca and I got married, and she has been a tremendous blessing to our church. She now oversees our children's ministry, choir, and ladies' ministry. It is truly a joy to serve God alongside the woman He prepared for me. Ministry in our homeland comes with many sacrifices, but we have found that serving God brings true joy. As the ministry continues to grow and more people are added to the church, the Lord has once again shown His provision. Through help of faithful churches and friends in the United States, we were able to purchase a 4,300 square foot piece of land for our future church building. We are now trusting God to raise funds for our church building project. We are prayerfully seeking $100,000 to construct a 3-story church building. The first floor will be used for Sunday school rooms and church offices. The second floor will serve as our main worship area, where we can seat at least 300 people. The third floor will be the parsonage for the pastor and rooms for the church workers. We are praying for 50 commitments from churches, families, friends, or individuals who would partner with us by giving $2,000 each to help make this vision a reality. We humbly invite you to help us build our dream church. Not just a building, but a place where souls will be saved, lives will be changed, and God will be glorified. Invest with us in the kingdom of God. Let us build another church.
Help us build our church!
That's the ministry that we have in the Philippines. And also my wife runs an orphanage as well. They got 2 kids, a 5-year-old and a 6-year-old. So please do pray for them. We had a burden for that ministry as well. So if you want to be a partner with us, I am also praying for additional support for my growing family as we go back to the Philippines. And I always told my wife, I told her that if the Lord provides, if the Lord provides the money for the building, we will go back home the next day. We will start the building in the Philippines right away. So please do pray for our travels. I have a board here, and I hope from the back that you will see this. This is the commitments that we are praying. We are praying for 50 commitments. And so far, the Lord has been gracious and good to us. We have now 5 commitments. 45 more commitments and we're done with our deputation and we will start a new church in the Philippines. And I always told the pastor in the church, let's build a new Trinity Baptist Church in the Philippines. Amen? So please, if you want to be part of this, $2,000 each per box. And we're praying for more, 45 more. And please do pray for this commitment. So thank you so much. And I hope that you are blessed with that presentation. And before I share something from the Word of God, I would like to call my wife to sing a song for everyone.
Good morning. Thank you so much for welcoming us into your church, and thank you for the wonderful accommodation. I've seen so many beautiful faces, very welcoming, and we just are thankful because even though we're far away from home, we can still go to church. We can still worship the Lord the same way that we worship Him in the Philippines. And before I sing my song, I'd also like to share my testimony. I, like my husband said, I'm a third generation missionary as well. I grew up in the church. My father is a pastor, and my mom is an administrator of a Christian school that we have in the Philippines. And growing up, I thought that, you know, salvation can be passed down to generations. But I was so wrong about that. I knew that the Lord needs to save each one of us, and we need to accept Him as our own personal Savior. And when I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, my parents were preparing me to become, you know, someone that can handle being a pastor's wife, someone that can also take over the school. And growing up, I was so afraid of what was expected of me. And so I kind of ran away from that calling. I ran away from the Lord. And it took a long time until the Lord had to really reel me in and show me that, hey, you need to keep trusting me. You need to keep going to church. You need to be faithful, because there is no blessing when you run away from the Lord. And I thought happiness can be found somewhere else. So when I went to school, I went to Pensacola Christian College in Pensacola, Florida. Right after school, I went to Disney World and worked there. And I thought that was the happiest place on earth. But there was so much sin and so much hurt. And I repented and came back to the Lord, and I'm so thankful that the Lord still protected me from that place. The Lord still delivered me, and He brought me and He prepared me to be a wife to my husband. And I'm so thankful that I'm being a help to him in the ministry. And because of our growing family, the Lord has really impressed in my heart to keep praying for our baby, to help us to become good parents, to help raise this child to get to know the Lord and to pray for him. And this song is called "Why Have You Chosen Me?" Because for such a long time, I've questioned why the Lord keeps bringing me back to Him. Why didn't He just let me go? But He was preparing me, and now what I need to do is to just follow Him and to do what He wants me to do now. So I hope to become a blessing to you. God so great could love me so. He's willing and wanting to bless. His love is so wonderful, his mercy so bountiful. I can't understand it, I confess. But Lord, help me be what you want me to be. Your word I will strive to obey. My life I now give. For you I will live and walk by your side all the way. But Lord, help me be what you want.
Well, thank you so much. And please do pray for us as we travel and as we finish our deputation. And I won't be long. I promise that. I have limited English with me this morning, so I won't keep you long. I told Pastor I want to share something from the Bible this morning. And the Lord gave me Psalm 23, verse 5. If you're able, can you please stand up with me? Psalm 23, verse 5. Very familiar chapter. But we're going to try to understand and really see what the message we have in verse number 5. The Bible says in verse number 5, Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. I want you to remember three things this morning, specific things that verse number 5 tells us: the table, the oil, and the cup. Let's come to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for the life that we can be used for you. Thank you for the message this morning. Thank you for the song. And may you be glorified in our midst. Forgive us from all our sins. And we ask you to hold our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. I thought pastoring is easy, Pastor Dilbert. When I grew up in the church, pews were my playground. My mom is my Sunday school teacher. I thought just pastoring is easy. I just saw my dad preaching, shouting, shaking hands. Not until I became a pastor and I really understand it's more than that. You got to deal with a lot of people that God entrusted you. You got to deal with the management, the programs, and everything. But I really thank the Lord. I will never regret being a servant of God. And all right, let's study the verse number 5. It's a very familiar chapter, very familiar Psalm of David, the Psalm 23. When he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All I can see from that is a man who is satisfied with the Lord. Amen. He's a man after God's own heart. And looking at David, he has everything in life, position, status, richness, and everything. But when I read the verse number 1, all I can see is a man who is satisfied in the word of God. He is always connected to His Lord. He is satisfied with God's Word. Not only God's Word, He is satisfied with the work of God. How He managed to be a king and be a servant of God as well. Sometimes it's hard when you got status to be a servant, but David managed that he is a king but a servant of God. Amen? And that is what I see in verse number 1. He is satisfied with God's Word. He is satisfied in the work of God, and he is satisfied in the will of God. Life is not perfect. David's life is not perfect as well. He has ups and downs, but he is always satisfied in the will of God. Amen? And in verse number 5, we're trying to study the three specific things David mentioned: the table, the oil, and the cup. You will never forget this message: the table, the oil, and the cup. The verse number 5 says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." In the Hebrew law, once a traveler was received into a shepherd's tent, and especially once his host has spread food before him, he was guaranteed immunity from his enemies. So when the host invited you to his house and you sat on his table, that is the guaranteed an immunity from enemies you have outside. No one can touch you. No one can touch your family. No one can molest you. No one can harm you, because you are protected by the host. The greater the host is, the greater the protection. And David is saying, the Lord, He's God, creator of everything. He made everything out of nothing. He is the one who prepared and invited me to His table, and that is why I am protected. That's the message of the table right there. It's God's protection for His children. I told our church in the Philippines, church, you need to pray for a table for your families. Because Satan is always there. He is alive. He is real. He is not just a fiction. He is real. He is a person. And he has nothing in his pocket that's good for us. So we need to pray for God's protection. Lord, invite us to your table. Lord, may you protect my family. This is also my prayer for my growing family. That the Lord give us His table, that means His protection. And that is the message of the table, that the Lord prepare a table for him, David, in the presence of his enemies. Imagine that. The greater the host is, the greater the protection. Amen. The next thing that David mentioned is the oil. He mentioned, "Thou anointest my head with oil." In Hebrew custom, or in their customs, when a guest was anointed with oil, it showed he was highly honored and highly favored. But there is more than that. And when David is taking care of his sheep, he coated their head with oil for two specific things. One is for the insects that can live in their nostrils and in their ears. But when they are covered with oil, there's no insects and bugs that can live in their nostrils and in their ears. Because sheep, when they are not covered with oil, insects and bugs can get into their nostrils and ears, and they will scratch it to death. They will bang their heads until they die. But if the shepherds poured oil all over the sheep's head, it's a preservation of that sheep. And the second thing is when you get caught on branches and take thorns, you can get out easily. Why? Because you're preserved with the oil. And that is the message of oil. When David said, "You anointed my head with oil," that is how God preserves His children. I am also praying for my church. When I left them, I told them, church, pray for an oil that God will protect you. Sometimes Satan can get into your nostrils, can get into your ears. Satan he is a great musician as well. Do you believe that? That he can get into your ears without us noticing it. He can get into your nostrils and in your mouth without us noticing it. That's how tricky he is. So we need to be aware and we need to be prepared. To have a table and to have oil, so you can be protected, and as well you will be preserved. And that is the message of oil. Amen. Last, David mentioned a cup. Oh, I love a cup. Miss Nancy showed us this morning. Love her cup where prayers put into. Well, David mentioned, "My cup runneth over again in the Old Testament customs when you're invited into a house. For the host to tell us, to tell you that he has a lot, he will make your cup running over. That's the message of cup. When David says, my cup runneth over. Who is the host? It's God who will anoint, who anointed him. It's God who make his cup overflows. It's God. And God is telling David, I have everything you don't need to save. I have everything I will provide for you. Look at my pattern. Look at how I protected Israelites before. Look at my pattern. You know, David, what's next? I can provide everything for you, your family, your ministry, your church, because David is saying his testimony. My cup runneth over. It keeps on running over. Why? Because our, the host, the God who poured his cup, has everything. Amen? And that is why sometimes, you know, you get doubts. You get fear. What if we don't raise the fund for our church? What if they don't listen to us? What if they don't, you know, share us something for the ministry in the Philippines? But I know the God who we serve. Amen? He makes the cup running and running over. That's the God who we serve. And I thank the Lord because I know God's pattern. I know what's next. How he provides before, how he heals before, how he takes care of his children. I know his pattern and I know what's next. Just like how you count 10, 20, 30, 40, you know what's next. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know what's next, right? That's the pattern of God, how he provides, how he takes care of his children, how he supports his servant. That is his pattern. In the world we live, that sin and temptation and Satan is everywhere. We need to have a table, a cup, and an oil. We need more Christians as well in the Philippines that will stood for the gap, that will stand and willing to do the Matthew 6:33, the seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen? Not just to look on all these things shall be added unto you, but to look for the first part of the verse, to seek his name, his kingdom, and his righteousness. That's the message we want to preach as well in our home country. We need more Christians to teach the next generations how to love, how to respect, how to honor the Bible, how to read the Bible. That is why we need to pray for a table, oil, and a cup. You know, there's one kid asks Charles Spurgeon. You know Charles Spurgeon? Prince of Preachers. There's a kid asked him once, and the kid asked him, preacher, what's the most important thing? Reading the Bible or prayer? Oh, the preacher smiled and answered him, what's more important, inhale or exhale? The kid gets it. He both need it. We both need it. Amen? We need to pray. Pray really hard. Knock heaven's door. And we need to be in love with our Bible. And I will leave you with this. In the world we live in, we need to be a standard. We need Christians who will set the standards. Not just to be go on the flow, but we need to set the standards. In a world where everyone is sitting down, Christians must stand up. If the world is standing up, Christians must stand out. And if the world is standing out, Christians must be outstanding. And if the world is outstanding, Christians must be the standard. Amen. Help us to preach this message in the Philippines. Help us to reach more Filipinos. Help us to proclaim and share the word of God across the globe. Thank you for loving missionaries. I saw your bulletins. I saw your board back there. You love missions and you love missionaries. We need more churches like this who has a compassion and love for lost soul. Amen? Amen. So please do pray for us. We love you. Thank you for having us this morning. And God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Dilbert.